Hey, and welcome to the 6 Minute Mile podcast. I'll admit that I've been a little skeptical about the whole virtual race thing. To me, it seems that the main purpose of a virtual race is just to keep us from going stir crazy. It's more about the mind than the body. That's why we instantly took the idea of the mind-body tri. Instead of promoting the mental health of endurance athletes in a roundabout way, they're taking it head on. This is a great idea pulled together by 6 experienced race directors spread across the country. Their triathlon is like any other in history. The first leg is to run a 5K. The second is to do 45 minutes of yoga. And the third is a 15-minute guided meditation. The goal obviously isn't to see who's fastest. It's to reduce stress, anxiety, and depression. We spoke to 3 of the event's organizers, Bruce Dunn, Eva Solomon, and Rachel Martin. These guys are cool and brimming with energy. They all bring a different perspective and were a blast to spend time with. We gained insight on why endurance sports are so important to all of us. The conversation also took an unexpected turn as they each got into some predictions for when in-person racing is likely to come back in a big way. We think you'll enjoy our conversation with the Mind Body Tri folks. We'll see you out there.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we were so excited when we heard about this because it seems like this is, you know, exactly what the world needs and what the endurance world needs right now is kind of a mixture of let's get back to events, but let's also keep it in perspective and let's help our emotional and mental states as well as our physical. But how did you all come up with the idea for this?
Well, I'll answer that. I actually started it in May when it just came up in conversation with some of our staff. We, a couple of years ago, for our Tri Goddess Triathlon, it's our all-women's triathlon, we had a whole, it was our 10-year celebration, we had a whole weekend of triathlon. We wanted to do something different there. So we had at that time what we called the Zen Tri. So the Friday night before the weekend of triathlon, we had a similar event that was, it was running, yoga, meditate, called it the Zen Tri, and it was live because back then we had live races. And it was a fundraiser for Karen's Trail. Karen McKeachy, who was an elite triathlete in the USAT Hall of Fame, was my business partner, was killed on her bike a few years ago. And then there's Karen's Trail for her memory. So it was a fundraiser for that. I was wearing the shirt in April while we were all in quarantine on a Zoom call. And one of my staff said, "That is the cutest shirt. What event was that?" Told them, and they said, "Let's do it now." So we did it. In May, and then we did another one on Mother's Day. We had a series of 3, and then we had one more like encore later in the summer, as summer solstice edition. So I've been talking all about Mind Body Tri all summer to these guys. Yeah. And then one day I said, let's do like a giant Mind Body Tri. So that's how it came about.
I love it. And now as race directors, it's been a tough time, right, in the industry. And I feel as if everyone talks about how hard hit the restaurant industry is. But live events and athletic events, this is a big part of the American economy or world economy, I guess now, but it's been really, really hard hit. Is that, how have you all dealt with that?
I'll tell you, David, it's a testament. I tell you how hard it is. Race directors don't work together very well. You know, we have our own sandboxes and we're entrepreneurs. And so it's interesting. We've gotten together. It's been really good for all of us because right now it's been so tough that there's been weekly calls with 6 to 10 race directors, and it's really helped each other a lot. And then Eva came up with this great idea. And quite frankly, I have to give a big shout out. I'm not sure I would have let anybody else in to play with my idea, but Eva's been great. And I think collaboratively, we've found a new way to, you know, be engaged and have our athletes participate with us, because virtual only events have been tough, especially on the back half of the year. At first, everybody understood it. They were going to get into it. Eva's been super successful with virtual events, you know, for the past few years. A lot of us, it's new to us. And so this is even a little tweak on that. And I think There'll be more collaboration down the road, I think, just because of COVID-19 and what we had to do to come together.
No, that's great. And so, and we pick this up all the time from our readers and just in our travels with our running buddies, but there's demand out there to do something, right? People want to do more than just train. They want to do an event and understand this is not a competitive event. We're going to have a podium and medals awarded, but what's the reaction been from the runners or the potential triathlon participants so far?
What they really like, different from other virtual events, is feeling part of a community, because we start off with the yoga. So, you know, I told you when we first did this live a few years ago, it was at a park and we had a start line and everybody ran their 5K, came together then for yoga and meditation. We switched it around for this one because we wanted to start off having everybody in a room together. So they came on to Zoom and we welcomed them just like the start of the race. I mean, we had, you know, the whole thing going on. I even had like a megaphone and a cowbell and, you know, did the whole thing like we were at a race. And we even give time for them to chat with each other a little bit as well. So they really feel like they're together, have the yoga class, then they go off and do their run, and then they come back again as a community for the meditation. And they're really appreciating that, as opposed to a virtual race where you're really picking your date and doing it on your own. And that's another thing where there is an actual date. It's not just, you know, pick a date. So there's some more accountability there.
Yeah, and how did you, and Kelly Harrington is a pretty accomplished yoga instructor. How did you wind up landing her?
Because I've been taking her class for a really long time.
Okay.
And I think she's really awesome. And we've become friends through that. So I asked.
Never asked, never
you
asked.
Never know.
Yeah, and she loved the idea. She did one of our Mind Body tries over the summer was live and virtual. We limited it to 50 people.
Okay.
And she's a runner and a cyclist as well. So really gets the whole thing. And yeah.
Oh, that's great. And do you expect this to be the biggest one so far? The one on October 24th?
It already is.
the beauty of pre-registration. what do you expect participant numbers to look like?
Our goal is 1,000.
Great.
Do you guys all agree? You think?
Yeah.
We're shooting for 1,000. Mm-hmm. If we go over that, we're in trouble because Zoom doesn't let more than 1,000 people.
Honestly. Oh, I didn't know that.
Figure that out.
So that's a limitation there. But if we need to, we'll figure it out because we really just, you know, the whole thing is bringing people together from coast to coast.
I love it.
One big community.
And so I think most people understand. Understand what a yoga class is. Most people understand what a 5K is, but the meditation part is really interesting. What describe that for us?
Well, Rachel participated in one of the Mind Body tries, and I'm too busy to do the meditation during the events because I'm there being race director. So I'm going to let her talk to that.
Yeah. So you know what's so great about meditation is that I think a lot of people sometimes can get intimidated by it. Like, I don't know, like were you ever intimidated by that the first time you ever heard of it or came upon it? Sure. But it really isn't, because a lot of people are like, well, I just can't sit still for that long, or I can't just clear my mind for that long. And the whole point of it is to sit there and just be aware. It's not like, oh, I can't keep every thought out of my head, but it's the whole process of just being aware. So it's not necessarily, so you don't have to judge yourself, you know, if you're intimidated by it. But it's just a great way to close out. First of all, it's a great way to like even start your day, even if you take like 1 minute or 2 minutes or even 30 seconds of just sitting there with yourself. It's a very calming process. So it's the perfect way to close out this event for sure.
And so what will that look like? So people will come in at different times, right? So some people will walk the 5K, some people will run it in 16 minutes. So when they come back, what does that meditation look like? Or is it guided, or is it more or less a pledge to do 15 minutes on your own?
Oh, it's guided.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And I think a lot of the people on the event, this is their first experience with true meditation. And you're right, they come back at different times. And when they come back, whether it's in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, or, you know, right at 59 minutes, our announcer, Mike Riley, will be there on screen greeting them, and hopefully have the opportunity to have some conversations there. So that's how it's been in the past, and that's how we're envisioning it now.
So, right. And I want to come back to Mike Riley. That's a great coup for you guys to get Mike. So he will scream out in the microphone, "You are now a mind body triathlete."
Absolutely.
Probably has to be a little more chill than that, right? But so you come back from the 5K, and then do you come back into the Zoom call where you started with the yoga?
Yeah, we ask people to leave the Zoom running. That's the smoothest way to do it. So at the beginning, we'll let everybody know the best way to handle this is to keep your computer plugged in, because Zoom will suck the battery out of it, and keep it running, stay on the Zoom channel, and then when you come back, join the group. Some people actually have it on their phone, and they take their phone running with them.
Whoa, that's cool.
Which has been kind of fun. And we give them a playlist, and we'll even keep the music running because there's music during the yoga. So that's been fun. And then they come back at different times, just like in any other race, but it all comes together. And some people choose to run more than 5K as well and run for the whole hour.
And who among your group is most into the meditation idea?
Rachel.
I love it.
Good. The rest of you are too stressed to chill out, right? That's why somebody gave me that book. Is it 10% happier? About 15% happier?
10% happier.
Right. And I'm like, I'm too busy. I don't have time to read it. I don't have time to get
this. That's what I said. I'm good. No time for that.
It's a great way to recharge, like reset and recharge.
Yeah. And we had a really interesting interview for our podcast last week with, you guys may have seen this story, but it's a guy who's a cross-country coach in Kansas, and he ran a 5:30 mile backwards. I don't know if you saw this story. It was on Runner's World, but he set the world record. He ran a 5:30 mile running backwards down this road. But he talks about, and he's a cross-country coach, a collegiate cross-country coach, and he was a pretty accomplished forwards runner, but he talks about getting into a flow state. That's the way he thinks of it. And he said, my best performances as an athlete, and I tell all my athletes all the time, is not when I'm super amped up. It's when I get in this sort of chill flow state. Said, you know, I've read lots of books on this and studies that say, you know, even before a fight should be listening to classical music and, you know, and kind of decompressing and chilling out and getting into this other state. But I don't know, Rachel, how do you think about that relationship between meditation and sport?
Oh, for sure. 100%. But I also think it's personal. I think that's very personal. I think some people like that ramped up music and it just gets them going. So I think it depends on what you like, but I think that's why it's so important. Like with this event is that you can try this out and see if you like it. Right. And maybe add that.
Yeah. So big hyper athletes who are cranking, you know, whatever.
I think about transition, like at Pumpkin Man weekend, you think about it. It's like our announcer there, the music's blasting and, you know, so that is good. But I think this is a great opportunity for people to say, I'm going to try this out. And what's also great about it being virtual is that there's no intimidation. You don't have to go in to a yoga studio and say, okay, I'm going to try to sit here and meditate. Well, what if I can't? What if I can't sit still? It's like all these thoughts that are always going in your head. But that's what's so great. It's about virtual events, like all year with 2020, actually, is that you can try this out on your own and see if you like it. And so I think that's a great way to introduce people also to meditation. Yeah, and like I said before, just introducing yourself. And if you can incorporate it into your life, it is amazing. It really is a game changer.
You know, David, that's a great point Rachel makes. And a lot of us, if there's going to be a positive in this, is that we've created more athletes or more customers for the race director industry, quite frankly, because you're always trying to lower the barriers to entry, and you're trying to cater still to the Uber athlete who's willing to travel and willing to, you know, hit the checkout button. And but at the same time, if the greater demographic is the person that's intimidated about showing up for a 5K, doesn't have the right watch on, doesn't have the right shoes, the clothes, and maybe not fit the size model, or they're just not confident. And I think all these virtual events and things like this are going to just create more healthy people that want to participate in our industry. I mean, I think that's the upside in all this year. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. And I think that is, especially, I think most of you have a strong triathlon background. I think that's the most intimidating thing for people to switch from, like, hey, maybe I'm a swimmer, maybe I'm a cyclist, maybe I'm a runner, but like, wow, I see these people with $14,000 bikes and, you know, teardrop helmets, and that's not me. And, but I'd kind of like to try this, but am I going to be embarrassed? And so, yeah, it's an interesting opportunity. And I don't know, in your, I assume most of you have done virtual triathlons over the last 6 months. Is that right?
I have. We've put on several.
And how's the reception been to that?
Mixed.
Yeah.
You know, some people just weren't interested at the beginning. And I get that. You know, that's not what they were looking for. But a fair amount of people, the ones who we communicated with more, the ones who participated, loved it because many people were signed up for their first triathlon, and then they were kind of relieved. Oh, I can now just do it on my own and see what it's all about. Some people formed their own smaller groups and they would train together and then go pick a date that was like their race date. And we did our best to keep that as a live experience for them by communicating with them. And one group, you know, I sent them a bunch of logo swim caps to wear, you know, when they did have something, because they weren't gonna have their swag, just things like that. But they loved it, and very positive response from the participants. Really nothing negative. Everyone found something good in it for themselves.
I've been getting many, many emails from people and just thanking me for doing something.
Yeah.
You know, because just because we're in the middle of a pandemic, we need community now more than ever. You know, and that's, again, what's so great about this event is that you're going to be surrounded with hopefully 1,000 other people. You know, so having a sense of community during this, when we're so isolated, is so important, and having something to reach for, because I mean, that's what we do in our industry, right? We give people confidence so that they can be stronger in their lives. So.
Well, and David, we had four people on our team that have never done a triathlon or a duathlon. And our first one, they all participated, and it took them 3 days, the very first one to do a run, bike, run, duathlon. The last one, all four did it on the same day and in a pretty decent time. And so it was about a 4 month period. And it really got my team in shape, got them to really identify even more with our athletes. And so I thought that was pretty encouraging. You know, folks trying it out to going, oh, I have the confidence. I can do it just as good as anybody else. And so that was pretty fun to watch.
I love it. So what do you think, I'd be interested in all your opinions for next year. There are kind of two schools of thought that I've heard. One school is, hey, there's so much pent up demand. People are going to, the race industry is going to be bigger and stronger than ever next year. Other school of thought is people have said like, you know what? I've been doing a bunch of training and I'm fine. I don't necessarily need the big stress of gathering all together, or maybe there's still some lingering doubts even post-vaccine. But I don't know, what do you all predict for, you know, let's say at least the second half of 2021 and the race business longer term?
Yeah, I think there's gonna be a lot of demand. I think there's gonna be a difference. I think there'll be difference between like huge mass events versus like, say, you know, like Pumpkin Man that might have 700 people on one day, it's going to be more doable, you know, but I think it's going to be stronger than ever, because I think there's going to be pent up, same for the travel business, right? I think there's going to be pent up demand for it. And, you know, and that's why we're working so hard right now, right? Like we're trying to keep people motivated, trying to keep them in and give them something to do right now when there's nothing to do.
Right.
Yeah. You know, David, I think the other thing is it's going to depend on the part of the country, too. I mean, quite frankly, you know, early on, I think there's going to be some parts of the country that are going to be able to do events, just like we've had a few. Our first event was September 13th, 280 people. And so we checked all the boxes in Arkansas to do that, health department and local municipalities. And we were able to do, you know, a pretty, we could do that event pretty easily. I think depending on where you are, trying to do 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 person events is going to be tough. But, you know, who knows? I think we're waiting to the end of the year, quite frankly, and I'm sure we'll
have a
better idea.
I agree with what Bruce is saying, that the larger races, it's going to take a while for it to ever get back to how it was. If it does, smaller races are doable. We still have not put on a live race. We just canceled our last race, our Turkey Trot for 2020, and then we also postponed our March Ann Arbor Marathon to October, hoping that October is a safer bet. It's one of our larger races. And I think that the virtual racing is here to stay. I think people who maybe were skeptical are finding that it's okay, me included. I've participated in a few of my own, like how, you know, Bruce said his team participated. Right. It's been kind of fun participating in my own events. One of the events we're putting on right now is for the Wildland Firefighters, and it's the pack test challenge that Wildland Firefighters all have to take before getting that job, and they have to carry a 45 pound pack for 3 miles in under 45 minutes. So I came up with this thinking, oh, I'm going to have tons of people, they can do it. And then I decided I would do it. I'm still training for it. I have not gotten there yet. It's hard. It's really hard. I'm close though. I'm up to 41 pounds. anyway, point is, I'm having so much fun with myself, like training for this and trying to achieve that goal. And it's a virtual race, and that would not be a real race. I mean, it could be, but I wouldn't. So I think just the creativity we've all had to come up with, and a lot of these different things are here to stay. I think the virtual race where sign up, we send you a shirt and a medal, I think that's getting old. I don't know. Around, because those have been happening for a long time. I think that there's something to it, and people will be looking for that, and there'll be a shift with the live events for sure.
Interesting. And Rachel, will you try some in-person events before
this
the
year?
End of the year? Yeah.
Will I try them this year? No.
Yeah.
No.
Too tricky. And what's your prediction for when you could do, you know, something similar to what Bruce did with maybe a couple hundred athletes? Will you try to do that in the spring or to be determined?
Yeah, for 2021 for sure. So my triathlon festival, different than the road races obviously, is in September. So, you know, my fingers are crossed. I'm an optimist. So, you know, I'm hope, you know, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but road races, yeah, I can still put on. Like, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of my running events are community within our community, and they're philanthropic. And I'm gonna try. One of them is a race that I created for my dad called Rick's Run, which May 28th would have been his birthday, and that's when it would have been in 2021. But I'm hopeful that I could at least have a couple hundred people spaced out for that.
Well, I'm sure you guys, New York Roadrunners just put their toe back in the water, right? They're doing like these couple hundred people. It seems like they're going to grow a little bit. So, man, if they, you know, obviously for 100 reasons, we hope that all goes safely. But if they can pull that off, I think that's a good omen for the rest of the industry. If they can, mm-hmm. if you can do it in Manhattan, you can probably figure it out right. in other parts of the country.
Yeah, I agree. And I think once people see that and see that they're doing it, the participants will feel more comfortable doing it in other parts of the country. And also the permitting agencies who right now, even if we come up with something that I think is pretty safe, the answer is no. We just can't.
In Michigan, the answer is no for most things?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you can have 100 people and they all have to be cleared out before the next 100 people even pull into the parking lot, things like that. And I get it. Because it's just really hard. You have to draw the line somewhere. But we can't do that. You know, to them, it sounds reasonable. But for our logistics, it's not reasonable.
That doesn't even pay for your fencing, right?
Or no.
Your porta-potty
stuff. You know, it's been a no. And like you said at the beginning, you know, restaurants, people are coming in and out. And it's not great. They're not having a great situation either, but they're open for business and people are going and doing it. And yeah, we're just not.
Yeah, it's important to get creative. And if you kind of, I was just thinking about this, Eva, when you think about like restaurants and they can do takeout, it's kind of like how our races are doing virtual,
right?
You know, like a takeout version, right?
That's a great analogy.
So we just have to keep getting resourceful and getting clever just to keep people involved and interested and healthy and in community and just to keep things fresh. That's what's so great about this event.
Curbside racing.
Yeah.
No, I love it. And so I will, you guys are so great to give us more detail on this, and we'll for sure promote it throughout our newsletter, 6 Minute Mile, which is about 500,000 subscribers now. So just a quick question for you. We've asked this of a lot of our podcast guests. I'd be interested in maybe a quick answer from each of the three of you. But as you think about this, you know, we're pretty fascinated in general by this idea, the intersection of kind of emotional well-being and sports, but and it doesn't necessarily have to be a sports-related book, but I'd love to hear an influential book from each of the three of you, whether it's sports-related, business-related, life-related. But we've gotten unique answers from each of our podcast guests so far, so no pressure, but we're expecting profound, deep thoughts from each of you.
You want us to answer right now?
Sure, please.
Just real quick. I think I read it like in May or June when I had time to read.
Right.
And not all that exciting. I know a lot of people read it, but The 4-Hour Workweek.
Oh, I always meant to read that. Was it good? It wasn't too hopeful?
Better than I expected.
Really?
When I first heard the title, I remember someone suggested it to me a long time ago when I was, you know, complaining about, I've got so much to do this week. I don't have time for that.
Right.
I need to read The 4-Hour Workweek. I'm like, I could never have a 4-Hour Workweek. And
right.
I can't. The book's more than that. Just a lot of food for thought. So.
I love that one. All right, good. All right, no pressure, Bruce and Rachel. You got to top that one. That's a good idea.
You want me to go, Bruce?
Yes, ma'am. Go first.
This is a great book that I think I read at the end of last year when it came out, but it's Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo.
Oh, I have not heard of that.
Everything is Figureoutable. And it was so great when I saw the title of that book because I was like, yes, because literally everything is figureoutable. And it has been something I have been just thinking about and doing this entire year. You can figure it out and you can get resourceful. That is what this year has been about. Are you going to stay in the game and get resourceful and figure stuff out? Or are you just going to sit by and just watch it all happen? So in life and in business and in everything, everything is figureoutable. You just have to go from plan A to plan B to plan C and just keep going over and over and over until you get the result that you want.
I love it. All right.
Can I say something to that, Rachel?
Yes.
Because I agree. So, because someone just mentioned that last week, one of my team members, Libby, mentioned that book because I mentioned that I hate when people say, it'll all work out. And people all the time.
But make it work out.
I have a really busy week. We have a race this weekend. It'll all work out. And I say, nothing just works out. You make it work out. So we have that conversation. And she mentioned that book to me.
Great book.
So we've been saying that. So
wow, you guys live that every single race, right? It's like, oh, hey, my crossing guard didn't show up for this dangerous road cross. And you're like, you can't just say, oh, it'll work out. Like, no, people's lives are at stake.
The cars will stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce, you're going to go with the Nolan Richardson story, the University of Arkansas national championship season. But other than that.
Yeah. First of all, Rach, you're going to have to send me the spelling for that figure outable.
Literally like it sounds, but sure, yeah. I will.
It's funny you say that. We have a saying here, and I've been saying it for years and years, and it kind of drives my team nuts. But at the same time, we started a Monday night podcast called Just Keep Moving Forward. Mm-hmm. And so when we get down and things are not going well, I've said that statement so many times, it's kind of, and now it's hashtag Just Keep Moving Forward. But for me, it was two books. One, I went back to an oldie but a goodie, and it's Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. It's, it's just a good book. And then one that I would have never picked up had I not heard it from someone else, David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. That is a powerful book, but you got to stay till the end with it. I, you know, in the middle is thinking this guy is just full on nuts, and I'm pretty nuts guy myself. And then he wraps it up very nicely. So, you know, it was some tidbits, and at the same time, we just keep moving forward.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, because we've started, anytime we mention his stuff in our newsletter, and we're trying to get him as a podcast guest. Brad and I are. Oh, I'm glad you said the book is worthwhile. I had not thought about getting the book, but.
And do audio, and I normally don't do audio, but on a trip my wife and I took, we had to get out of town this summer and drove to Colorado. And he is narrating after every chapter with the guy who wrote the book. It was really well done. I would do audio, quite frankly.
Oh, good. There we go. Hey, well, guys, thank you so much. It's a great idea. You know, don't take this the wrong way, but I hope lots and lots of people imitate you and do something similar, because it as I said at the beginning, this is really what our endurance world needs right now. So good for you guys to push this and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And with the invitation, I do hope people collaborate. You know, like Bruce said, he never let anyone in his sandbox.
Yeah, now he does.
Oh, my gosh. And I just also want to say, with this whole event, whether it's financially successful or not for us, the collaboration and working together is invaluable.
I love it. Yeah.
For sure. It's the best part.
Yep. Great professional development, quite frankly. You know, we backed into something really good.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Hey, well, thank you guys. You've been really generous, and we will let you know when we mentioned in the newsletter and when the podcast released. But it's a great idea. Thank you so much for contributing this to our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.